Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, okay, we're listening. Let's get it. In the building again, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Today is Monday, May the 13th, 8 p.m. I am joined by the lovely Odetta Lee. Odetta Lee, say hello to the people out there.
Hey now. Hey, guys. What's up? I missed you. And guys,
yeah,
I missed you.
That's right. I know
really
you missed me.
I missed you guys.
Yeah, I know.
I
get that
get
a lot.
I'm emotional, but I don't know how I feel by the end of the hour, but right now, I miss you guys.
You're going to feel great. You're going to feel just fine. You're going to feel pumped up and re-energized.
Okay.
But listen, more importantly, back up in here is the host of the show. The reason why we're here, El Jefe.
Wait. More importantly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, you know what? You're right. I do apologize.
Right.
Hold on an introduction on Greg. First and foremost, I'd like to wish the mothers, all the mothers out there, a happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
No doubt.
I
Happy Mother's
it.
Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
To the mothers out there that put up with me, all the mothers, all you mothers. All right. Let's get back to the business. I just want to introduce the host of the show, you know, my big brother, Mr. Greg Graham.
What up, my dude? How are you?
Doing well, sir. It's a pleasure to be back in business. I'm glad that you are back and feeling good,
long time.
Good. Now, before I go on with the show, I understand Peggy has some bills to pay. Peggy, go ahead, pay some bills, Peggy.
Yo, didn't we say we had this? But anyway, I'd like to remind everyone that the phone lines will be open. And just so you know, the phone number is 516-418-5788. Again, 516-418-5788. Phone lines will be open.
So go ahead and pay them bills, like I said, all right?
It's not the order we were doing things in, but
pay the bills.
The Mahdi Show. All right.
Do it. Do it now. Do it now.
I did.
This episode of OK, OK, We're Listening is brought to you by Cute Crafty Creations. Cute Crafty Creations is a black women-owned company that specializes in creating custom art and clothes for babies and adults. Check them out on Instagram at Cute Crafty Creations, all with K's. So, moving right along, this show is designed to discuss a personal matter. Mr. Greg Graham, I'm going to let you get right into it. The topic, of course, is in sickness. In sickness or in health. And so, Greg, when you came up with this topic, I'm just curious, where were you headed with that? I know there's a story behind it, but I really want you to let the audience know what you had in mind when you came up with the topic.
Well, recently, Amadi, my wife and I separated. We've been together for 17 years. You know, we had our ups and downs, but once I had my stroke, life became different, and nobody taught myself or my wife how to deal with that. So what I really want to bring to focus here is get a better understanding, you know, younger people, because I got married at 25, 24. Younger people get an understanding of what this is all about by getting married, and love alone is not going to help you through it. You know, you have to have goals. You have to set, you know, realistic goals, not just, hey, I want to buy a house. I want to have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in the bank. You have to have life goals and have a better understanding of that and bring more to the forefront of just saying, hey, I went to my counselor or I went to my preacher and they counsel us on being married, but nobody really speaks on what happens if one of you get hurt. Or sick
hey,
for
Greg,
life.
You said something's happened after your stroke. 2019, bro, they have pills for that, you know?
Wait.
I had my stroke in 2017, yeah, but I got you, homie.
No, I'm saying they have pills that could help you out. You could have taken some pills and been right back on, you know, an iron horse. You know what I mean?
Right.
No doubt. But that part, I have no problems with. No more. So, what do you want to go into first, Amadi? You want me just to start spilling stuff, or you want to lead me through this, Amadi?
Well, all right. So I want to be clear about it. I'm not gonna act like we don't know what's going on. This was more of a personal show that Greg wanted to bring to the forefront because, especially in today's age, we don't often talk about our issues and people are scared to come forth and explain their experiences. And he felt that his situation was an opportunity, especially with the seriousness of the stroke and how life altering of a change that was, that he could actually share his experience with everybody. So I wanted to give the floor to you, Greg. Honestly, I wanted you to kind of speak openly because a lot of people, like you did say at the beginning, they're not ready for a true commitment in terms of marriage because when you talk about forever, forever is a long time. And like you said, a lot of things can happen over that course of forever. And just as it happened to you. And I mean, I really wanted you to kind of go into, I think it'll help you. It'll also help our listeners. And it'll also help those of us that are about to embark on new journeys in terms of marriage and take that vow forever for sickness and in health. So go ahead, Greg. I'll let you kind of open the floor.
So let me put this disclaimer out there.
Including
first of all,
your backstory as well.
Yeah, I will, Detta. Thank you very much. But first and foremost, I want to bring to the forefront that this is not in any way to say that anything wrong with my wife or anything that she have done to me. Is this that life took its toll and we wasn't prepared for this. So like Amadi said, I want to make sure that whoever is thinking about jumping the broom, as they say, at a young age, to understand that there's much more to it, just saying, okay, I love you, instead of just having a better foresight of what's supposed to happen in the future. So with me, I met the love of my life back in Spring Valley, New York. That's where I'm from. And probably around 96, actually, she went to school with me my last year of high school, 94. And I didn't date her at that particular time. You know, I dated her while I was in college at the University of New Haven. I actually met her on a bridge, and it was kind of funny. The Tappan Zee Bridge is not there, but I guess they have a new one now up there now, right, guys, in New York?
Yep. The Mario Cuomo Bridge now.
Oh, it's what's called? What is it called?
The Mario Cuomo
Bridge. Okay.
Tappan Zee, bro. Tappan Zee.
Okay, that's what I know. That's what I know. So,
easy, baby.
You know, I met her on the bridge, you know, me and her chopped it up while we was in traffic, you know, kicked it, you know.
Hold on, stop. What do you mean you met her on the bridge?
It was a big traffic jam. You know how
it was.
You know, there's a lot of traffic going back on Sundays. You guys know that already, on that bridge going to Westchester. So we was stuck in traffic about 30 minutes, so we had time to talk. We exchanged numbers, and, you know, the rest of that was history. You know, fast forward a couple of years, we both moved down to Atlanta. She lived with me, and we was all good. But the problem happened is that, you know, we got involved into a church and we isolated ourselves. We didn't deal with a lot of other people. We only dealt with people within our religion. Wasn't planning on getting married, but when you look into the religion part about it, it's saying, you know, you're living with each other and you're not married, so automatically that's a sin. So we had to make a decision. Are we going to stay with each other, or are we going to, you know, take the next step? So foolishly, we took the next step without getting true counseling and having a true goal. And what I mean by that is we just said, I love you. You know, I do love her, and I think she loved me as well. But we didn't have true goals for life. I never thought I would be at the age of 40 and be a stroke survivor, aneurysm survivor. I thought, you know, this is going to be another 20, 30 years down the line. Something, you know, might take me out and or take us out together, whatever. We just die of old age. We was never planning this at the age of 20 or 20-something.
Bro, so, you're not 40, by the way. You're not going to get away with that. You're not 40.
Yeah,
I'm 43. But when this happened,
yeah, okay.
I was 40.
To be clear. Okay.
I was 40. I'm 42. When this happened, I was 41. But anyhow, can I finish my story, Imadi, without you interrupting? You said you're gonna let me go.
I want all the facts. I want to stick to the facts. I want you to be honest.
You don't want me
to
deviate. I got you.
I don't want you to deviate. I know you have the stroke and all, but I want you to stay focused, all right, bro?
I'm trying to focus. So with that
Bring
being said, you know, we got married. Everything was good. We didn't have a lot of money at that time. We didn't have any children at that time. They didn't have any plans to have children. And we didn't even have any plans for the future. The only plans that we really had was, okay, we're going to get a house. We might get multiple houses, and we're going to travel, and hopefully we make some money. Okay, mm-hmm. Fast forward a couple of years, we have a kid, and unexpectedly have another kid. Best thing ever happened to me in my life, and I'll explain that a little bit further when I go on my story. But my girls are the most important thing to me. I didn't want any kids, but, you know, I got convinced that we should have kids, and we did. We got the house. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, we don't have any money. Matter of fact, Imadi, you came down one time, and we was dead broke, and you came down, you did a little grocery shopping. We didn't know how we was going to eat, but you came down, you got some groceries in the house, and that was a good thing, good look. But without that, we'd have been starving that particular week, because that week was eating rice and potatoes. That's it, you know what I mean? But, you know,
yeah, I was on a run that week.
Yeah, he was a little bit wild. Matter of fact, this is back in like 2002, 2003, so everybody relax. It's not the present day. So, you know, Imadi came down, you know, he blessed the house. You know, we had a good time, yada, yada, yada. You know, fast forward a couple of years in the future, my wife wants to stay home and raise the children, and I'm in a position right now, like, hey, we're only making about $30,000 a year. This is not going to work. So I got a job out of state in New York, actually New Jersey, working with the military, the DOD. And my life changed upside down from there. You know, I got expense accounts. Everywhere I go, it gets paid for. I'm going to different countries, different cities, and I'm never home. So this is happening for 8-9 years.
Oh, wow.
And my wife is being used to now that she doesn't have to work. One of the biggest mistakes I made, allowing her not to work, and I'll explain that in a minute too, but it's also a big mistake that I was never home. So mm-hmm. she had to raise the kids by herself, and she became like a single parent, and mm-hmm. that became unfair to her. So I will come home Thursday night, dead tired. She wants my attention. The kids wants my attention. I can't do it because I'm dead tired, and I'm leaving back out Sunday morning. And she has to deal with the kids all over again. So, you know, once again, I'm making a lot of money. And then 2016, this, you know, happened. I'm back home, chilling for about 5 years. And now I'm a new husband at home instead of being a husband on the road. And that mm-hmm. took a toll on our relationship as well, too. So we was really strained with our relationship. But, you know, everything that we said that we was going to do, we achieved. We got money. We have a house. We travel. What's next? We never set that goal up. So now it's not just love anymore. It's now you're in my face. And you used to be on the road. What else can you do? And I'm looking at her. Well, you got your degree. Why don't you make some money, too? And now we have a quagmire. We don't know what to do anymore because she doesn't know where to go to get into the workforce anymore because she's been out for about 10 years. She doesn't understand what's happening. When she left work, Facebook was even out. So there was a big gap that she didn't understand how to get herself back into the workforce. While I'm getting beat. I'm tired. I don't want to work anymore. I told her, hey, I want to stay home. I want to be a stay-home husband and while you go out and work. Because, you know, I felt like I did my job already. But then I lost my job. And now I'm not making six figures anymore. And I go get a truck. And I drive across the country. I'm making probably about $30,000 or $40,000 less. So our lifestyles completely changed. And is a major strain, because now I'm back on the road again, and now she's trying to adjust to being a single parent all over again. And now I got teenage girls now at this particular time, and they are trying to understand who I am, where I fit in, and why am I leaving all the time. So once again, we don't have goals. I'm just trying to live for the moment. I'm trying to live to pay the bills. We're not saying that in 20 years we're going to be this, that, or another. I'm going back and forth with this, but my wife, you know, she started a couple of businesses. She wanted to be a computer programmer. She wanted to be a photographer, and she was doing well at that as well, but it wasn't making the money that needed to sustain that lifestyle that we was used to. So once again, more strain come upon. And then I had my stroke, and, you know, all the strain that we had within our relationship completely went upside down. And with that, I can't even necessarily try to articulate the best way. I'm trying to articulate the best way I can, because at this particular moment, I completely changed. And what I mean by that is my attitude has changed. I'm more aggressive now. I'm less coherent now.
I have no idea.
I'm not
how
the man of the house
now.
Anymore.
No sense.
What do you say to Marty?
I have no idea how you mean you could be more aggressive now. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I'm definitely more aggressive now.
I think I'd blame that on the stroke.
But yes, I'm saying I'm more aggressive now.
Right?
I'm crazy right now.
I can't.
But. Go ahead, Daddy. You got something to say? Because I hear you chiming in.
No, I said you're crazy.
Yes, I'm crazier
you're crazy.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm crazier now.
I think you brought up a very good point though, Greg. I mean, that you said that there weren't any goals. You guys didn't set any goals from the beginning. I think one of the things that I know that my lady and myself, we've already done is set goals in terms of, like you said, buying real estate, what we're going to do with the kids, where we want the kids to be in 5 to 10 years, obviously saving for college, saving for another house, things of that nature. Those are very important things, and those are goals that you guys need to discuss, I'd say, on a daily basis. But I think, you know, for my situation, I can speak. I mean, I'm here all the time. I think what I hear you're saying, though, is you were always – I'm kind of curious. Do you think that you ran away when the girls were born? Did you think it was comfortable to be away because you didn't have to do so much as a
– Yeah, it was comfortable being away because I was making a lot more money outside of state than I would make in Georgia. You know, when I was in Georgia, I was making tops $30,000 a year. As soon as I left the state, I was making over six figures, and my wife didn't have to work anymore. So, yeah, I was running away to get that money, but I didn't realize what kind of toll it was going to put on my family.
The true cost
and the strain
of it.
Yeah.
Do you think any way that your father was might have raised you had something to do with the fact that you also it was also so easy besides the money to leave?
No, I wouldn't say that because my
did he say that it was easy?
I'm asking.
Yeah, I never said that.
Okay,
no.
I didn't hear that. Right, I'm like, wait, did he even say it was easy?
I didn't say
it.
He said the six figures made it easy, Odetta. I mean, that's one of the things that we always talk about. You got to actually listen to comprehend. You
that's
know what
why
I mean?
I'm asking a question.
Well,
it was easy. I missed it.
I got you. We'll rewind the tape later. You can catch up. We got you.
You know what I'm at?
You know where I'm at. You know where I'm at. You can pull up.
I know. Exactly. You better recognize
it. Yeah, it's not that far of a drive. It's not that far of a drive. Go get him.
Valley Drive Block Party, August 17th. Pull up.
No doubt. What's that for, Mike? What's the block party
for,
man? Since you just brought it up, you plugged it in. What is it
about?
The block party is
going to be different this year. It's going to be in honor, of course, of our boy Sammy Turnbull Jr., Fatty X. You know, he passed away, and you know, his memory is going to live on with us. 2009.
No doubt.
And one of the things that Sammy was about, he was always about community. He's always about giving, and one of the things that we want to do is we want to give back to the community. Want to make sure it's more orientated towards the children as well. So we're not going to have a bunch of dudes out there getting sloppy and being disrespectful. There's also going to be awareness in terms of diet. One of the things that I know that you were going through, you had a moment where you were hospitalized, actually. And I told you, and at that moment, I had changed my diet as well. And one of the biggest things that in our community is the diet.
Yeah.
and it's important. So eating healthy, you know, eating fruits and vegetables, knowing what to eat is very important as well. So that's the block party. But I want to get back on topic. I want to get back to your story, which is important, I think, for those of, like I said, for those that are looking to get married. And I want to continue where you left off in terms of you being apart from the family, and I'll let you pick up from there.
Yeah, like I said, that was a major strain, Amadi, being away from my family. You know, it's funny because one time, you know, I'm hanging out with some of my coworkers and we listened, I think it was DMX or something really rough. You know, I'm going hard on the song. You know, I'm saying the lyrics and all of a sudden my phone rings, it's my daughter's, and all of a sudden I sound like a little kid. I'm like, hey baby, how you doing? And then I go back, yo, put that music back on. You know, go hard, but. It was tough.
You sound like a little bitch. You can say it. You can be comfortable saying it. You sound like a little bitch.
I can't say that because I'm talking to my girl.
But you could tell the world.
I don't sound like that. I don't sound like
you
that.
You could tell
all
listeners that you sounded like a little bitch. You could say it.
No. I just sound like one of their partners in crime, and that's it. But no, real talk. It was hard for me. I might be on the road all that time, and every time I'm coming home, my daughter's looking different. They're getting taller, and I can see my wife getting stressed because she's dealing with all this by herself. You know, she's at the house 24/7, homeschooling the children as well. So when I come home, what's the first thing she wants to do? Greg, let's go out. I'm like, you take the kids, or let's take the kids somewhere, and we go somewhere. I'm like, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to do anything. Well, Greg, let's start this business. I'm like, you got to do this on your own. I'll be your sidekick, but I can't do this because I'm exhausted. I've been traveling all this time and stuck in the airport 6-7 hours trying to get home to you. You know, there was times. Go ahead, Dad, please.
Prior to your stroke, did you guys seek any counseling at all?
We went to counseling, but the problem was we didn't go to individual counseling.
Okay. So no inner work.
Yeah. So you
couples.
And I'm an advocate of counseling now. Going to marriage counseling first is the worst thing to do. I think that you have to do individual counseling first. Find out whatever demons you have, and solve them. I think the problem that I, you know, the person that I am and the problem that I had was I think I could fix things. I can make you happy. And that was the wrong attitude. I was very naive with that. I couldn't make anybody happy. You have to make yourself happy. You have to find out what your problems are, deal with them, and then come into a relationship. And I think a major problem, even with religion-wise, is that, you know, it says, you know, you need to, your husband is your head. And we really took that to heart, that, you know, any problems she has, she could come to me and we could pray to God about it. But she was raised differently than I was. So I don't know whatever problems she had, and she didn't know whatever problems I had. And I'm trying to help her. I'm trying to help her with the knowledge that I have, the knowledge base I have, and it's completely irrelevant to hers and vice versa. So that brought up a major problem. So by the time we try to do counseling as marriage counseling, you know, a lot of her issues come up. A lot of my issues come up. I'm like, damn, that was bothering you? I didn't know that bothered you. Oh, and she'd be like, damn, that bothered you? I didn't know that bothered you either. I thought that was normal. So now we have these issues that, you know, piling up over and over and over the years that we don't even know why we're arguing anymore. We just want to argue. But these things could have been solved if we solved them ourselves by seeking counseling, then coming together. And I think that's what a major problem that a lot of people do nowadays is just think that, hey, I could take care of it. She could take care of it. Let's get marriage counseling, and everything will be fine. But that's incorrect.
But now it's bogus.
Yeah, completely bogus. But when I was 22, 23 years old, I wouldn't listen to anybody. You know, I say, hey, I moved from New York with $200 in my pocket, got an apartment in Atlanta, made a life for myself in Atlanta.
Nothing's changed, bro. You still don't listen to nobody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But no, I listen a little bit more now. I just don't listen to you. But I do listen to people. I listen to Odette a little bit. little bit, but I just don't listen to you anymore. I don't know why. I don't know why. Because she's a Virgo, man. Her birthday is like a day after mine.
Happy
so
knowing
she got some sense.
Exactly.
She got some sense.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Don't hate.
You Leos, I don't know what you guys be into, man. You guys are all over the place.
Who's you guys? I'm one guy.
But Leos, that's pure.
I think you're giving me, that's not, nah.
She's stupid. So, Odetta.
Yes.
To answer your question, yeah, we did seek counseling, mm-hmm. but we didn't seek the right counseling. Marriage counseling is the only thing that we did, and that was a complete failure.
Was it a couple
times? It seems like you guys got to not know each other, though.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't hear anything.
I said it seems like you guys got to not know each other, and that's a thing that was, you know, that could have been something that could have been a pitfall that kind of doomed you from the giddy-up. You know, you
with
got too comfortable.
Space.
And then all of a sudden, you had all the space, then you guys just got distant. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think it's that we did not get to know each other. I think we got to know each other and didn't necessarily like what we saw.
Like, who are you?
Because we didn't see
right.
it before. Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's already too late. We're married. I'm like, oh, crap.
Got the kids, got the marriage.
This is who
got
you are?
House. Like, we're here.
No, but
I
you had a dope
that.
Wedding, though. The wedding was dope.
No, we're not talking about the wedding. We're
you.
Not talking about the wedding.
Yeah,
the wedding
he's only bringing up the wedding. He loves the wedding.
The wedding
was the best time of his life.
Ow.
He brought up Atlanta, and he was like, yo, I'm coming to Atlanta every year after that.
Yeah, son. Back to
that's
back
like his
right
right there.
Yeah,
that's how he refused himself.
Yeah, I did, man. I did. Because there were older brothers there, too. All the brothers were acting crazy. I slid in there, like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, that was when Atlanta was different, though. Like, that was right after Freaknik. You know, things was really popping. Now it's Atlanta looks like Brooklyn. It's totally different.
Nah, I was down there. Atlanta's crazy. They still killing people down there. I'm good. Good, man. Brooklyn. Yeah,
but you,
Brooklyn
you came down here for the Super Bowl, didn't you?
Super Bowl was crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That was crazy down here.
That was a different animal altogether. That wasn't Atlanta. That was a Super Bowl. But, you know, back to this, you know, guys.
Yeah,
you know,
so we discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure did. But the most important thing I want you guys to understand is that when I got married, nobody, I'm talking about nobody, explained to me what will happen if you just keep on having this stress and having these arguments, you know, they keep on piling on, and you think you can fix them sooner or later. Nobody explained to me, okay, what happens if you get sick or she gets sick? You know, it's not a big problem. You know, you understand, yeah, a person gets sick, but the thing that happened to me was, you know, I had a brain aneurysm and I survived it. Oh, I had a ruptured brain aneurysm, and I survived it. But nobody prepared my wife for this. Like, okay, Gregory's going to be different. When I had this happen to me, I felt like I died and a new person came back. So she's looking at me like, okay, where's my Gregory? Oh, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new person now. So nobody prepared us for something like this happening. And I know it's very rare.
How did you
somebody
feel that you changed?
Oh, that it was like my brain restarted. I feel like I'm a teenager over again. I feel like everything that I have known, everything I have done is completely gone. And I don't want to be that way no more either. You know, when the stroke happened for me, and I'll bring that up right now. When it happened, I knew I was going to die. I was like, death was at my door. And I was okay with it. This is the easiest thing for me to deal with is dying at this particular point. I didn't care if anybody would cry over me, if anybody would be sad over me. It didn't make a difference because it was a very peaceful transition. I was ready to go. I was driving my truck, and I pulled over, and I'm looking at the side of the road. It looks like the worst place on earth when I drove back after a year. But at that time, it looked like the most peaceful place on earth. And I wanted to get out my truck and just lay in the grass and just say, thank God you're ready to take me. Let's go. I was ready to go.
Wow.
I'm scared of death. So when that happened, I started thinking about things in my head. I thought about my friends. I thought about this show because I was trying to get back to the show. You know, I talked to Marty about 30 minutes ago before this happened. And I told him to start the show and everything and all that because I'm going to be a little bit late. But now I was talking to my mom, and then this happened to me. And, you know, she's screaming, crying, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I she told me to pull over. And, you know, when I pulled over, I knew I was going to die. My head was just, it was just hurting me. Then I felt like I was having a heart attack. And then I thought about my mom. I thought about my wife, but I felt that she'd be okay. And I'm like, okay, everybody's going to be good. And then I thought about my daughters. You know, what? You know, these are the two people in my life that I didn't necessarily want when I was 22, 23 years old. I never wanted kids, but I'm glad I did, because once I started thinking about them, you know, I asked God, hey, bring me back. I need to deal with these girls, because there's a lot of things I need to teach them. And as clear as me and you talking right now, Odetta, I heard a response that, okay, I'll bring you back. Ooh. You know, I got out of the truck by the paramedics, you know, and almost fell into the thruway because I couldn't walk. And he thought I could, because I looked normal.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried me and said, yo, walk. I'm like, I'm trying to. I can't walk. And I kept on asking people, am I going to die? They said, no, you're not going to die. Your oxygen level is fine. I get to the hospital, my oxygen level is not fine. It's like really low. But all the time before I got there, it was a long wait, 20 minutes. I had to take a helicopter from one place to another. And, and all that time, my oxygen level was great. But once I got to the hospital, it went down. So I'm saying all this because now my mindset is totally different on that. I don't think about hatred. I don't think about jealousy. I don't think about arguing with people. And these are the things that was part of me before. So, you know, my wife would want to argue with me. I don't want to do those arguments anymore. It's a waste of time. Because
you like
when you're about to die.
You like ace and paid in full. I'm not the same anymore, Rico.
Wait.
Yeah, he went somewhere else. You know, dumb truck is always gonna go somewhere, man.
Nah, I didn't know what I'm talking about. I said you like Ace in the movie. You like Ace in the movie Paid in Full. He like, yo, I'm not the same anymore, Rico. Gosh, I'm done. I'm out.
You'll be all right. But that's the thing of that. That's the thing I'm talking about. That my life completely changed from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't think about any negative energy. And I'm not saying my wife was bringing negative energy, but there was negative energy around our relationship, and I couldn't deal with that anymore. So she's looking at me like, why are you not responding? Why you don't care? I'm like, I see other things that's more important than just fussing with you. I see more things important than being jealous of the things you do or trying to respond to anything that you might be insecure about. That's irrelevant to me now. So now I'm a totally different person. So when people want to, you know, look at me funny or do things to me, I don't really care. Like, because death doesn't scare me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys can answer that and say, hey, I'm not really scared of death. I'm literally not scared of death because I know what death looks like. It's not a scary thing. Now, maybe torture is, but not death. So when this is happening to me, you know, I'm becoming delusional as well. You know, Amadi came to the hospital, and I'm telling him things about picking up dead bodies all over the place. And he's looking at me like, gee.
Oh boy!
I don't know what you're talking about, but this is what's in my head, and I got this childish mentality going on with me. You know, I'm thinking that I could do these things, and I can't, and I know I can't. And then, on top of that, Odetta, people are telling me you need to do this, you need to do that, but they don't really understand what's going on with me. Like, have you ever met somebody that had a stroke and they can't speak properly anymore? They sound like they are a 10-year-old child or even a 2-year child. It's a grown man or grown woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when people speak to them, they say, oh, okay, so you used to work at Home Depot? Sound like a little child to them. But in his head or her head, they looking at you like, why are you talking to me like a little child?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they can't articulate their stuff, they can still think the same exact way. They just can't get it out that way anymore.
Right.
So now people looking at me differently, and that's frustrating to me. Like, okay, Greg, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do that. I'm like, nah, I could do it myself, even though I know I can't do it. So now that's being frustrating to my wife. So now there's more tension going on. Constant battle that I don't want to fight.
Right.
And now I'm looking at her. I'm like, damn, you're a very attractive young woman, and the things that you want in life, I wanted before, but I don't want anymore. So that made me make me want to leave, because I was done with the stress and the heartaches that I was putting on her. I was fine. Whatever she wanted to do, I was fine after that, because I'm not living anymore for myself. I asked God, give me another chance to help out my girls. That's it. I wasn't promised to go to Hawaii. I wasn't promised to make $1 million. I don't care about all that stuff no more. So my mindset is totally different. Even my marriage, I didn't think about it anymore. I didn't care about it no more. Only thing I cared about is fulfilling that promise that God told me I can live to take care of my girls. And I don't know how long that is. I could die any minute now. And like Amadi said, I've been hospitalized the other day. I just found out I had diabetes. And all this time I'm with my wife, I don't have any clarity. My focus is gone. I can't read. My vision is blurry. And I don't know why. So now she's looking at me, Greg, you look fine. Everything is good with you. Why are you complaining you can't do this? Why can't you help out the girls with their homework? Gregory, why can't you cook? I'm like, because I can't. I literally can't. And I can't make you understand what's going on with me. So the way I look at things now is totally different, and it's unfair to her. So I felt like, hey, you know, like I said, you're a beautiful young woman. You have a lot of things in your life that you want to accomplish. I'm just going to get in your way because you don't know how to handle me, and I don't know how to handle you. So if you want to leave, go. I know it's sad to say, but, you know, I gave up my life. I gave up my house. I gave up my family. I gave it up so they can succeed. I gave it up so my wife could succeed. I didn't think she was going to be able to succeed worried about me trying to start up a new career. I didn't think my girls would succeed because they will see mommy and daddy argue all the time. And I wasn't focusing on my girls. So I'm like, okay, I got them a house. You know, she's getting money from me for disability. She's going to be fine. And, you know, with me out of the picture, she could finally find who she is and how she could be happy. And I'm okay with it. It hurts. It sucks. But, you know, that's what I had to do, because this is the promise I made with God. It's like, hey, let me take care of these girls and you give me some more time on this earth. But if I'm staying at the house and not doing that, he could take me out any day.
Then what's the point? What's the point? That's big, Greg. That's major.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate. You don't know that. That could also be seen another way.
Come on.
Pull up, Odetta. Chill. There's always got to be a light moment, but not right now. Hold on. But you know what? Devil's advocate, though, G, like, she could also see it as you being selfish, because maybe that's all she wanted. Maybe she just wanted your attention, and she might have wanted some things from you and you were already ready to make your next move to figure out, well, how do I get out of this situation so I'm doing something for her? When in meanwhile, she could have just been saying, all I wanted the whole time was just you. How do you answer that?
I don't doubt it, Amadi. All this stuff you're saying, and I agree with you on it. You know, it very much well be that I was selfish, but when I was with my wife, and no fault to her, after I had my stroke, I had 3 anxiety attacks. 2 times I had to go back into the hospital. I just couldn't do it. Yes, I'm being selfish. I'm trying to survive for my daughters. And I'm looking at my daughters, and they're looking at me, and they're saying, well, this is supposed to be as a loving relationship. You know, mommy, daddy supposed to argue all the time. I'm like, nah, this is not it. I can't successfully raise my daughters, showing them a toxic environment. You know, and my wife doesn't understand.
Absolutely.
The light bulb just went off. Yeah, nah, I can completely understand you, bro. I was just trying to play devil's advocate real quick, but now I completely understand you now. Like, just for your own sanity, you gotta be away from somebody. I completely understand you now.
Maybe in the future we can fix, but right now I don't see that because we're not there.
We can just not be friends. We could just raise our kids. That's all. We could.
And that's fine with me. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I don't care. And I know it sounds mean. And it sounds cruel, but I don't care. I don't think that way no more. I honestly don't think that way no more. I think about, hey, I don't have many days left on this earth. Like, every day I wake up, I have pains in my body. I could barely walk straight. My arm feels like, you know, when you sit on the toilet for a long time and you get pins and needles in your butt. That's how I feel every second of the day. I could go get a massage, and a massage would relieve me for 30 seconds. Mm. I always have pain. And then on top of that, I can't focus. No, I used to work in a position that people would pay me big money just to speak to them, just to understand what I'm telling them. And I can't focus enough to do that. You know, I would have doctors, lawyers, senators, mayors sit down in my audience and want to listen to what I have to say to them. I can't do that anymore. And then I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, you know I gave you this life. And I gave you everything that you came accustomed to, but I can't do that anymore. And now what's next? What are you going to do? You know, you got your degree. You're ready to go on to this world, but you're still holding on to me. And I didn't want her to hold on to me anymore. I wanted her to be her. And I'm looking at pictures of her. I'm like, man, you don't age. You look beautiful. But now I'm noticing that she's aging a little bit. And she probably hasn't successfully done everything that she wanted to do in her life because she's waiting on me. And now she's going to have to take care of me for the rest of my life. I'm like, I'm good. I'd rather her succeed than me just holding her back. I know it could sound foolish, it could sound stupid, but we was arguing too much for her to say, yeah, I'm happy now that my husband is, you know, disabled, or I had a stroke, whatever, and now I have to take care of him. I'm forced to take care of him, and she might not even like me anymore. And I don't know if she does or not, but, you know, I didn't want to put that pressure on her. So that's why I left the house, because I needed her to grow. I needed my children to grow. And if I have to stay in a one-room shack, so be it.
Not exactly how we pictured life, huh?
No.
Right?
No. But I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. That's all
I'm hurt. I'm hurt, but I'm happy. I see my daughter smiling. I see my daughter's happy. Even I asked my wife, I was like, you know, are you good? She's like, I'm happy, Greg. I'm like, this is the stuff that I wanted for you, but I could never provide for you. And it's funny that after I leave the house, these things are happening, so I had to do it. I saw this happen. I even saw myself dying, Amadi, no debtor.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to die before I had my stroke. I knew, because my body was deteriorating. I knew this was happening to me. And then it happened. I didn't know it was going to be a stroke. I didn't know it was going to be an aneurysm, but I knew something was going to happen to me.
I guess it's crazy, especially when you're around. And, I mean, you know, you hide the changes, but we always had these discussions, and especially when you're riding shotgun and we're just talking, and you'll always tell me, like, you know, I'm different, and, you know, we joke around a lot about it, but, I mean, it hits home, it sinks in, you know, it's not the same when we were kids, and, I mean, we're both changing, bodies are changing as we get older, you know what I'm saying, I take better care of ourselves, but, I mean, just watching you still go through it, I mean, you know, you're a living testimony, I should say, to, you know, somebody that should continue to go, because, you know, these kids still, not just your daughters, I mean, the kids still look up to us regardless, and, you know, those kids that know you, know of you, you know, they want you to keep pushing, just like we do, and there's several adults I know I can speak on that want to see you motivated and to keep moving and keep pressing forward, you know, and if it takes you coming up here for a little bit to chill or, you know, moving around, you know, feel free, man, you know, start moving around.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. But that's the thing, Amadi.
Get Odetta out the house, right, Odetta? Come out there in your...
Yeah.
That's right.
Her girlfriends. You got to bring your girlfriends. You got to bring your girlfriends. But that's the thing. For a long time, guys, I've been depressed. I've been depressed. Like, after I had my stroke, I've been depressed, and I was very paranoid. And let me explain that to you. Like, I will go mm-hmm. places with my wife, and I was used to, you know my size and stature. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. I'm used to just looking at somebody. If somebody's going to bother my daughters or my wife, I'm ready to handle it. Now I'm going out, they got to protect me. That's still hard for me to get over. I can't get mm-hmm. over that because I'm used to being that person. Or if I go out with my wife, she has to pay. I'm like, this is not me. I don't like this. So they made me paranoid. So I will walk down the street with my daughters, and I'm talking about crowds. If I get in a crowd with people, I'll be so scared that somebody might grab them, and I can't run after them to stop them. It was rough. It was really rough. So that put me in a downward spiral, and I couldn't be around my daughters and my wife like that, because they looked at me as, okay, even when this happened to me, I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth. Even when this happened to me, I talked to my eldest daughter. She said, Daddy, I was scared, but you're here. You're different, but you're coming back. My youngest one said, I wasn't worried at all, Daddy. You're strong. You're going to be able to, you know, pull through. I'm like, man, I'm not that person. I can't. I want to be that person. I try my mm-hmm. best every day. You know, I do my push-ups. I try to walk. But I'm not that person. If someone tried to fight me, it's over. I can't even pull a gun on them because I'm scared that the vibrations will hurt my body. You know what I'm saying? So I can't defend myself. So that threw me for a loop altogether. And even with you and Marty, he was like, yo, Greg, we're going to go to this football game. I'm like, I can't go. I can't walk down the bleachers. He's like, I never thought about that. But, right. You know, a lot of people don't look at those little things that I have to look at every day. Every day. I look mm-hmm. at steps. I'm like, you run up the steps, Odetta. And I'm looking at them like, I'll be right here. I'll wait for you when you come back. You know? So mm-hmm. these are the things mm-hmm. that I got to deal with that I don't want to trouble other people with. And I didn't want to trouble my wife and my kids. And like you said, Amadi, earlier, selfish. I agree. It is very selfish. But I don't know any other way to be.
No.
Right now.
It's more selfless. Not selfish. Mm.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, at least you get a chance to explain yourself.
Yeah, I guess. But like I said, I really want this to be for other people to understand. And really, I go to the support group, guys. And it's once a month. It's for people that have head injuries. And, you know, I told them my story. And I told them, you know, me and my wife are not together no more. I was expecting people to say, oh, man, that's so sorry to hear that. Nobody better than I. Do you know that when you have a brain injury and you're married, 80% of people end up in divorce? So it's a common thing that happens with people that have brain injuries. This is a serious thing. Like, your brain
switches
off. It's
a major transition.
It's crazy.
I'm sorry.
It's crazy. So this is what I want people to understand. I want them to understand that your life is very fragile, and you need to understand that this fighting that you're doing every day with your spouse or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, is not really worth it. Even sometimes, I don't know if you guys been in relationships like this, but have you been in a relationship with a person that when you talk to them, automatically you're mad? They didn't even say anything bad to you, but you're just mad at them for things that happened in the past. You don't even know why you're mad. So just imagine you living that way. Then all of a sudden, the next day, your loved one has a stroke. Your loved one has a heart attack, or they come up with some kind of disease that's life-threatening. Then you're going to have to take care of this person. So all this stuff that you're doing beforehand, is it really worth it? All this arguing, all this unnecessary bickering, is it worth it? It's insecurities, it's jealousy. Is that worth it? Because when
after a certain moment, though, I mean, you lose it. I mean, personally, I'd have been lost interest. All that arguing, that would have been enough to make me just walk away anyway. But, I mean, like you said, though, it's marriage, though, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I was pot committed,
Yeah, you're locked in pretty much.
Mm-hmm. This is my thought process. We argue all the time. You know, we talk about breaking up before I had my stroke. But this is what I'm thinking. Like, man, she hasn't worked in 10 years. How am I going to support her? Because I know I'm going to have to pay half of it, whatever I make, to her, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't afford that. I already lost my job that I was making six figures. So how am I going to do that? How could I provide a good place? My daughters was going to private school when this happened to me. How are they going to go to private school now? If I had left, I would definitely wouldn't be able to pay for private school. And then I had my stroke. Now I'm like, I'm wasting time here. I'm wasting her life and wasting my life. This is my second chance in life. So, you know, I have to split, do what I have to do. She has to do whatever she has to do so I could grow, she could grow, and my kids could grow. But like I said, I was committed. That's what I was stuck with.
I think, like you said, though, you didn't have a plan from the beginning. So you kind of
no plan.
You were kind of planning on the fly anyway. So
man.
I don't know if you might have came. I don't know if you might have came up with the best plan before that anyway. So I'm just saying.
Nah,
you know what I mean?
I wouldn't, Marty. Odetta, did you go to college? I don't know if you did or not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Marty, you went to college. Did you have student loans?
Yeah, I had a couple.
All right, so
I'm paying student loans. I ain't go.
Okay, so when I finish,
I'm sorry. I'm like,
you know, like for instance, when I looked at my student loans when I first graduated school, it said my last payment would be 2019. I'm like, damn, I'll be 42, 43 years old that time. I didn't even think that far ahead. So imagine being married and you have to think 2019, 2022, 2030. What are you going to be doing? Nobody thinks that way when they're 22, 23 years old.
Well, hell no.
And that's what you have to think about if you're going to be married.
Anybody that says that is lying. If they do, then they're just better than everybody else. And I'm okay with that.
Super special. Super special.
Right? Yep.
But that's the thing. That's the hurtful, scary thing, man. I ain't know how to deal with that. Guys, we got like 9 minutes left, man. Anything you guys want to talk about or touch on before we close out tonight?
Some of the things that come to my mind, man, I think you would think I had a stroke. Listen, man, just a lot of emotion tonight, Greg. I want to thank you for sharing your story. That was a lot to get off. Thank you for carrying the show as well, man. You know, the time that we spent apart, we didn't really spend away from the show. We were actually building and talking. Me coming down to Atlanta, you coming up here, spending a lot of time just getting to reacquainted with each other, honestly, especially, like you said, you in this new body. But just, you know, you learning how to maneuver around in this new body has been a challenge. And I completely understand that. I just want to let you know, you know, family is always here for you. You're always
appreciate
home
that.
On Valley Drive. You know that.
Appreciate
so,
that.
So, I mean, even when you don't think there's nothing to do or there's not much to do, you know, for you know, you're feeling down, you know, you can always pick up the phone. You know, Peggy can excite you. She'll say some nasty news or something.
Make
you feel
better.
No,
I got
you.
I'm here for you, Greg.
Thank you.
It's kind of dope how the show's come full circle now, so I'm the one in a committed relationship and you two are the
there
same.
There you go.
Alone,
there you go, homie.
I know.
Yeah,
they go, ow. Hey, Greg.
I'm going to hold this torch.
Body's OG now.
Yeah, I'm going to hold this torch. Yeah, I'm okay with that, though. Okay with that.
You should
I'm
be
happy.
Okay with that. Odetta, you
yeah,
got anything
Greg.
To chime in on?
Nope. I'm not. I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
Come on, Greg. You got something. You're single. Say something.
I wasn't. I'm
say
single.
Something.
Well,
say something.
I am single, and I'm ready to mingle. I'm 41. I reside in Nyack, New York.
Jeez, you're getting everything.
This ain't Tinder. Chill out. Relax.
My IG is MVOLEE. I have an adult daughter, so no baby, no Pampers, no bottles.
Yeah, I feel like this is an adult
baby. You can't bring
your
kids over there. That's what she's saying. She can't bring the kids
and
over.
And I love seafood.
Pause,
though,
but yo, guys, on a serious note, man,
I want to
close this out with. I saw this on Facebook today. One of our peoples from New York, their relative is missing in Alabama, and I wanted to bring attention to it. This young lady, her name is Janiah Watkins. She is 19 years old. She's 5'4". She weighs 157 pounds. She has a tattoo on her right forearm. She's originally from Spring Valley, New York, but she's somewhere in the outskirts of Montgomery, Alabama. If you have any understanding or her whereabouts or anything that you have seen, please contact the police department. The phone number is 334-222-1155. Once again, this is Sherelle Tuck's cousin, and she put this out there on Facebook today. So please, if anybody has any information on the whereabouts of Janiah Watkins, please contact 334-222-1155. Oh, what a show, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Season 3, we started back up. I really appreciate you guys waiting all this time. I know we've been on hiatus, but we, like Amadi said, we haven't really just been gone. We've been trying to come up with better solutions, better programming for you guys, and have a great and informative show. Like we always said, we're not doing this just for us. We're not doing it for people our age. We want to do it for people that's coming up to build up our community, build up relationships, build up understanding between men and women. So I thank you guys for checking us out. We didn't get any phone calls this week. Hopefully next week we'll get some phone calls in. We've got a couple of great topics coming up. I'm not sure what we're going to put out there, but please tune in to us on Facebook. We got a Facebook group. It's okay, we're listening. Odetta goes in almost every day. I don't know how she does it, but she does it. Yeah, she does what she do. They,
single.
Hey,
she's single.
She pegs them out. She pegs them out.
Single. Yo, I want to shout out to all the single women out there, man, doing y'all thing. You know what I'm saying? We love y'all.
Single moms, happy Mother's Day once again.
Yes, yes, that's what I meant. Single ladies, mom.
There you
that's
go.
What I meant.
Gosh.
Oh,
wow. Love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys. Right. And everybody listening in. Once again, love you. Hope you got something out of this show. Really appreciate you guys. Talk to you next time.
Warm up my day. I'm going to talk to y'all later.
Peace.
Peace.